This is Tips and Tactics and Full Draw Fitness. And you are listening to the Archery Maniacs Podcast. We launched an updated website at www.archerymaniacs.com. Go there and you will find Archery Maniac Taxidermy. Our taxidermy includes European mounts, hydrographic skull dips, and custom artwork, customizable video packages, packages to fit all your hunt needs, monthly newsletter. The newsletter will include success stories, failure stories, gear reviews, wild game recipes, upcoming episodes in our online series, and upcoming podcasts, and updates to our YouTube online series called Live Life at Full Draw. Alert, alert! Soon to launch our ebooks, Hunt Planner Guide, all the steps you need to plan your next DIY dream hunt, including specific questions, hunt plans, and step-by-step instructions. Keto dehydration. Make your own dehydrated keto meals for your hunting and backpacking adventures. Super tune your bow, beginner's bow tuning guide, and more. Thank you for tuning into the show, and we appreciate you checking out the website. If you are looking to take your backcountry abilities to the level you've always wanted, contact Elevation Fitness Training and see how their personalized program can get you the results you've been waiting for. Mention Archery Maniacs and get 10% off the training package of your choice. Health is a lot more than what we can see on the outside. It's how we fuel ourselves, train, recover, balance life, and manage stress. Nutrition Realign is a holistic approach to health, making sure that you are feeling your best and ready for any adventure. Do you suffer from target panic? Has buck fever affected your shot control at the moment of truth? Learn the science of shot control at ShotIQ.com. Joel Turner's controlled process shooting program will give you the tools to succeed in extreme stress shooting situations. Decide to succeed with ShotIQ.
Now,
let's
get
into
the show.
This is Tips and Tactics. Last week we covered part one of nutrition in your pack. This is part two of nutrition in your pack for extended archery hunts. We dive a little bit deeper into the keto diet as well as some other helpful tips and tactics to help you get the best nutrition on your hunt so that you can fuel your archery adventure. I hope you enjoy the show.
My name's Stephen Dunn. I'm co-owner and co-founder of Elevation Fitness Training, and I'm a lifelong hunter, athlete, lover of everything outdoors, and we're out here in Oregon hunting and fishing and raising two little boys and living life, man, having a great time.
And I'm Steven's co-owner and co-founder of Elevation Fitness Training. And we get to have an amazing job where we get to work with people from all over the country on their health and fitness goals, and really just get people feeling good, whether that be for, you know, running marathons or triathlons or, you know, getting ready for a backcountry hunt or a hunt of a lifetime. So we really get to enjoy that. We work with some great people. We get to have a lot of fun with our two little guys and, you know, travel around and do some archery shoots and just enjoy life and have fun and eat well and appreciate the good things.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, I am super excited to have the both of you on the phone. Everyone that is listening, I'm your podcast host, Zach Harold. With getting foods that are more keto friendly, you had mentioned something about like cheese and nuts and stuff like that. I love string cheese. I absolutely love it. But also on the package it says do not eat after it's been not refrigerated for, it's super short, like 8 hours or something, 6 hours. And I've eaten that stuff 3 days later not being refrigerated. But what's kind of your guys' thoughts on taking stuff like cheese and things like that
most people would be really worried about it needing to be refrigerated, you know, prior to eating.
This question needs a disclaimer. I can't recommend anybody eat something that's, you know, says it's expired, but honestly, my favorite way, I don't even like cold string cheese. If
right?
it's sat for a few days and it's warm and kind of mushy, that's when it's my favorite.
Me
so,
too.
And maybe if I know I'm going to eat it, I might put it in like a warm pocket for a while. So then I can eat it. It'll be warm. But, the only
is turns that, into like a go-gurt or something.
That, that's pretty gross. Like saying that out loud makes me feel kind of bad about myself. But no, it's really good warm. For some reason, it's just kind of mushy, and I don't know. It's oddly yummy. I don't know that I would do that with a yogurt or something, but definitely with string cheese or sliced cheese, I have no issues with that. And you know, it gets cold at night for us too. So
I'm so glad that I'm not the only one that likes it warm and mushy. Cause I thought I was weird.
Yeah, dude. I don't want my string cheese to be able to be used as a drumstick either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's certain things that I like cold, and string cheese is just isn't one of those things.
No.
And, you know, if I could have if they would just make one about the size of my forearm from like my elbow to my wrist that I could just peel layers off of, that'd be perfect.
Okay, so here's the other thing, Zach. Do you actually peel it like string cheese, or do you just eat it like, you know, take bites?
Yeah, are you
of
a
it?
Biter? You like bite it off like a carrot?
Hold on, before you answer, we're about to judge you, so yeah. Think carefully.
So it honestly, I do a little bit of both. Sometimes I'll bite like halfway and then peel it. And then if I'm super hungry, I just chomp down on it and swallow it basically whole.
Okay, I'm gonna need a little bit more accurate percentage of how you do that. So like, are you doing that about 70% of the time, or?
I would say that I probably bite it and just chomp down and eat it probably 73.2% of the time.
Perfect. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll continue the podcast.
Good.
You've passed the test.
You guys must be chompers too.
It's a hunger thing. It's like, okay, for one, is it cold or is it warm? If it's warm, I'm more likely to peel it, and if it's cold, I'm more likely to bite it. But if I'm hungry, I pretty much just it goes
it.
In. It's over.
Yeah,
pretty much. So,
oh, that's so cool.
Funny.
So, and it's funny. Like if it's semi warm, I'll take it and then like savor it in my mouth if I'm not super starving, because I'm just like, it tastes so good.
How do you do that? How can you even do that?
I don't know.
How do you save it like that? I don't.
It turns it into mush.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not. That's not a skill. That's not a skill. I'll try it, but that's not a skill that I don't think I've ever done.
So Steven eats these mints like he got this habit from my dad, and he eats them like crazy. Like every 5 minutes, he pops this mint in his mouth, and he goes, "Okay, I'm not gonna bite this one." And he'll throw it in his mouth, and like 2 minutes later, he's like, "Damn it!" And I'm like, "You bit the mint, didn't you?"
I don't know why. It's like this involuntary like mint Tourette's that I get. It's the same tooth. It's never your front teeth, right? It's like
no.
The same tooth. I don't know if I kind of cycle it around in my mouth in a spot or whatever, and maybe I don't know, because it's never like it's a very involuntary bite.
Right.
But yeah, that's a little for some insight for you.
Yeah, if I eat sunflower seeds, I force myself to crack the seed on one side and then chew it on the other, and then the next handful, switch it up. Crack it on the other side and then chew it on the other side. I don't know why, but like I forced myself to rotate. I don't know if I'm trying to like work on my left and right, but I don't even know where that goes or where that comes from. But for whatever reason, I do that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's just one of those weird things.
Yeah, you don't want all those molars, you know, ground down on one side.
Yeah, exactly. See, we're on the same page. So with With you guys being much more serious about the keto that for this upcoming hunting season, what is, you know, what's maybe one of your guys' days gonna look like as far as, and I don't mean like a single day, you know, I think that's kind of unfair because I think you can take a lot different stuff if you're going on a day hunt than if you're going on a 6-day hunt, obviously. So what is an average day going to look for you guys on one of your extended hunts as far as your recipes are going to go for you?
I'm so glad you asked this because I'm just going to, you know, this is obviously more Courtney's realm because she's an expert on the field, but I've been pre-planning this answer for this question, Zach.
Cool.
So I've got it pictured. I have a, you know, I run a Kafaro Reckoning, right? For it's a big old pack, but I can do anything I want with it. And then both
yesterday,
dude, it's,
they're awesome.
Oh my God. Yeah. So anyway, shout out to you, Snyder. You're still making the best packs in the world.
I just was talking with him yesterday. I don't mean to cut you off, but now I got to tell you a story. Can I tell you just super quick? So I walked in there to see Aaron.
Everybody's got a Snyder story.
Right? And he's like, well, what, you want the Reckoning? I said, yeah, that sounds good. And we go over, and he's like, do you need anything else? And I was like, you know, whatever needs to come with the pack, just to put it on. And he's like, well, you're going to need some clips. And he just starts grabbing handfuls of clips and throwing it in the packs. And there's shoulder straps and waist belt and all this stuff. And he just, like, starts grabbing them and throwing them in there. And I'm looking in the pack. I was like, that looks like I have way too many clips. But he's like, well, you're going to need extra clips just in case. I said, well, thanks, man. I know you don't know me from Adam, but I really appreciate it. It was just awesome. So anyways, I didn't mean to cut you off, but when you said Reckoning, I just had to tell you that story.
No, yeah, that's what you get with it, man. That's just what you get. And it's the same thing. We were on a very fun hunt with Courtney's family last year. We weren't even hunting. We were just the pack mules, and we were packing out a cow that her cousin shot on his 14th birthday, which was pretty awesome. And I was having trouble with the load lifters, you know, dropping the shelf, the meat shelf, and trying to figure all that out. And so I sent him a picture and he laughed at me and he's like, haha, you're doing it wrong. Call me. but he was available for me, but it was just enough to make fun of me and then to tell me how to do it right,
right?
Which is super funny. But
exactly.
He's an awesome
cool
guy. And the nice thing about him, he'll always make sure that you're set up. It's like, you know, he's like, I don't even care if you're running a Kafaro. I just want to make sure that you're doing it right to where you're going to get the most benefit out of your pack. And, you know, that you're not looking like a goofball with things, you know, all compressed down the wrong way. So he's a great resource for reaching out. And obviously, we love their packs and have not been able to do any damage to them. They are just indestructible. So,
dude, indestructible. Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's yeah. Anyway, so my plan is to with that Reckoning is with both of my with both my waist belt pouches, is probably the left one will be full of cooked bacon and the right one will be full of coconut oil. And I'll just dip one into the other. That's my plan.
Oh God!
Dipping bacon into coconut. I've never even tried that. Is this amazing?
No, we've not done that.
We haven't, but I can imagine it's going to be awesome.
That's definitely not true.
Yeah.
But if food were left up to him, it might happen.
I'm just going to pull a little radio wagon behind me full of coconut oil and bacon and almond butter.
So apparently we're bear hunting at the same time.
That's right. We're chumming for bear.
You might as well. Like,
yeah. No, but yeah. Courtney's the wizard on that, so I'll turn that over to her.
Perfect.
Whenever you guys are done here.
I have more to say.
Story of my life.
Right.
Anyway. The only time he doesn't talk is when we're coming home from a 5-day show and he's like, you know, deer in the headlights, which is,
Or I lose my voice and she's so happy.
Okay, here we go. So, yeah, I guess as far as food goes, we'll probably do the Four Sigmatic, mushroom coffee. It's just got a lot of really good immune boosters, which is always good when you're in the backcountry. And then, like I said, coconut oil is our friend. So we'll take a bunch of that. That'll get us through. I don't typically eat breakfast anymore. Steven is, he's usually eating by the time his eyes open. So I'm like, literally, you're 1 foot out of bed. Like, did you bring a snack to bed with you last night or what? It's crazy. But, so we'll do that. And then we'll do a lot of coconut oil and then probably a string cheese and some, we do every other day, Brazilian nuts. The Brazil nuts have a lot of selenium in them, which is good to add that in. Then for lunch, we'll probably do some sort of a dehydrated, broccoli veggie kind of mix with, whatever our protein is going to be. And then more coconut oil, and that we'll just take on the side. Obviously, we're not going to add that into our dehydrated food, but we'll do like the powdered cheeses and stuff just to get the calorie content up. And then I'm probably going to play around with a few different dehydrated meats this year. Last year, we stuck to chicken and steak. And it was okay. The steak was all right. The chicken obviously came out a little bit better than the steak did. So I'll have to play around with that. And then we'll probably do something similar to what we did last year with the quinoa and veggies. I won't do the quinoa, because of, you know, 'cause I'm sticking away from carbohydrates. So I'll stick with leafy green vegetables, which I really like anyways. And then he'll probably do a little bit higher carbohydrate, just because his body's running better that way right now. So that's kind of our plan. And, you know, we'll do the snacks in between and, trying to figure out a good breakfast go-to. I know there's like powdered eggs and stuff you can do, but I'm not sure if that's even something that I can wrap my mind around. That just seems kind of crazy. So, but we keep it simple and I'll just keep each meal, you know, I like to add as many calories as possible. I was making a shake the other night cause I just got busy with work and, you know, everybody had dinner and I didn't. And so I'm like making this shake in the kitchen and I'm trying to put as many calories as I can in it. And I've kind of laughed to myself. I'm like, so many people are like, how do I make this taste good without any calories? And I'm trying to, you know, like, can I hit 600 calories in this shake?
Right. So. Right. Yeah. one thing I learned, because we did the dehydrating journey last year too, is if you cook like a deer roast and then you spread, you know, you tear the roast apart and then put that on the dehydrator, mm-hmm. it dehydrates quicker and rehydrates a lot quicker than opposed to cutting small chunks of steak. We found that the steak kind of rehydrated, but it was kind of chewy.
That's what we found with the steak too. If you can make it like smaller, like shredded meat instead, it does a lot better job. And then when you rehydrate it, you're not like chewing and chewing and chewing and chewing. And I think it processes a lot easier through the system that way as well.
Unless you're like a beef flavored gum lover, then you can do it that way.
A beef flavored
gum.
I mean, I don't even know if you can buy beef flavored gum, so.
With your veggies that you're talking about taking, are you dehydrating those before you take them, or are you trying to take any of them in?
Yep.
You are? Okay, cool. Cool.
Yep, dehydrating all of them. It saves weight.
Yeah, for sure. We found that mushrooms and green onions dehydrated, like, extremely well. Mushrooms far above everything else. Like, it was insane. Yeah.
I love mushrooms, but Steven just threw up in his mouth when you said that. So I might have to do some of those for me. He is not a mushroom guy at all. So
fair enough. I probably just lost some brownie points that I gained from the string cheese.
No, you're okay. That string cheese was so strong that I just bypassed the mushroom thing. And I'm on like level 7. of ninja skills when it comes to just picking mushrooms out of stuff, so that doesn't even really bother me that much anymore. For some reason, the first 23 years of my life, my mom just forgot that I didn't like mushrooms because everyone else did. You know, like I said, I would just make a game out of it. I'd make like Lincoln Log mushroom homes on the side of my plate and stuff.
Yeah. Lovely mushrooms. It wasn't really until recently that I actually started liking mushrooms. And I don't I'm not like eating mushrooms raw or anything because that freaks me out a little. But if they're cooked into something, you know, like sauteed with onions on a hamburger, then it's okay. But yeah, you get
yeah, that's a little more yeah. You know, and one thing that I do like though, I like to go pick chanterelles, and I will eat some chanterelles, you know, seared up with some butter and some garlic, and you know, now you're talking, but. Just a slimy old mushroom on a, you know, anything. No, thanks.
All right. So final question.
I don't know why.
If you guys had to pick one piece of food / nutrition in your bag for your archery hunt, one, and that's it, what would you have in there?
Okay. Before we answer this.
Avocados.
Now you're saying one item of food or one meal?
One item of food. Like if you had to pick one thing, you know, it even if it's a 6-day hunt, but you had to eat the same damn thing every single meal, every snack, what would you pick?
Can we bring like salt and stuff with us too? Or is it...
Gosh, listen to this guy.
Question. Do you see what I deal with?
Holy crap. You can bring one thing of salt and one package of Parmesan cheese. I'm going to up the ante.
Oh, well, if that's the case, then I would definitely go avocados. Yeah. You could throw Parmesan cheese and some salt on it. One packet, though, huh? You'd have to really ration that salt. How much Parmesan cheese, though? I mean, come
so
on,
you
dude.
Guys
I mean,
would
no,
seriously
I'm very
both pick avocados, huh?
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at, you know, energy, calories, and fat content.
If you're looking at how it tastes and it's delicious, then yes.
Yeah, avocado. And if you're not, then you're wrong. So.
So in a serious question with avocados. Go ahead.
I was just saying, if I could take avocados and he could take string cheese, and then we could have a party.
We'd have Parmesan cheese also, though, and some salt because he said we could.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, you
we'll,
guys are
we'll
awesome.
Have to
you
figure
guys
this
both
out before
have to come hunt Wyoming, like for real. That would be a ton of fun. So since I asked that question, you guys said avocados. How – are you keeping the do you currently take avocados, number one? And number two, how do you keep them from just getting mushed completely in your backpack?
We're not taking avocados. No, we don't. We don't take them with us hunting. But you were asking a hypothetical question.
That's
so.
True.
Okay. Yeah.
It was completely hypothetical. But I was like, man, if you guys are taking avocados, how in the hell are you doing that?
Well, typically what we like to do is we put them on a saddle pack on our unicorn, and then we will ride the unicorn back deep into the woods.
Yeah,
no, we'll take them for camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. We'll take them for camp, but, you know, typically, no, not, you know, we won't put them in the pack.
Gotcha.
So it's a good pre-post, but, you know, I've been a peanut butter, almond butter lover my whole life, you know. I think, and I'm steering a lot more towards almond butter the last couple years, and you know, I get out this, it's got a nice, you know, sodium and fat content, so that's something that I really enjoy. And like, you know, we were joking about string cheese, but man, string cheese, gouda, anything like that, something that's going to give me a lot of, I don't want that glycogen crash, right? Once I burn all that. And I'm, you know, I don't mind hunting hungry and hiking hungry, but I also know that if I shove my body full of fat, I can go a lot farther. I don't feel like I need to drink as much water as often, you know, and like Courtney was saying, as I get older, I get a little crampy, you know, a little more crampy. I've even in the past taken like Pedialyte with me, but the problem is it smells like, you know, it's like, hey, we're over here. it's so much fragrance to it. And if you get the unflavored kind, it's like drinking peroxide. So,
gotcha.
You know, it's really just about keeping your body going. And I think if we found a way to take avocados, that'd be a really good choice, you know? But yeah, cheese, almond butter, anything like that, something that you can, I think Courtney even mentioned earlier, we like to if there's anything packaged, we like to unpackage it and make it as quiet as humanly possible. There's one thing to have the right food, but you know, if you've got some kind of crinkly, you know, paper making a ton of noise and you're, you know, and every animal out there is like, what the hell is that? You know, is that a bag of Doritos?
Yeah.
It's a, you know, putting that to be and being quiet, you know, mm-hmm. Have food, but make it so you can consume it and enjoy it on the go and very quietly, then you win, you know?
Yeah. All right. For real, last question. With, okay. When you guys are taking your oils, how are you packaging them? Are you packaging it separately yourself and taking it, or how are you guys taking your oils? You know, like your MCT oil and your coconut oil, or are you mixing that in with what you eat it with prior to leaving?
So I can do some, like for our coffee, because we do butter and coconut oil, I can just mix them together, like pre-put it together. And then put it in a Tupperware. We just, you know, use Tupperware baggies or whatever, you know, is going to be the lightest to make the most sense for packability. Or we can do like a liquid MCT oil. There's a lot of different options. It's just, it kind of comes down to packaging and the way that, you know, you want to get it into your pack, know that it's not going to spill, you know, and or rip open and be a mess in your pack. But, you know, liquid versions, or you can do the actual compressed oil version. It all just depends on, you know, what you prefer and again, how you're packing it. So.
Gotcha. Well, awesome. Well, you guys, I seriously had a blast today. You guys are just so much fun to have on the podcast and talk and laugh and joke and serious as serious gets. You are more than welcome to come hunt Wyoming. You just let me know what you want to hunt, and I'll tell you where and when to apply, and we'll just make it happen, because that would be a blast.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the year to do it, and we need to make a trip out there anyway for, you know, for Maven, and check that out. Make the trek out there. Yeah. And
it's so beautiful. We went to Yellowstone last year after we did the Total Archery Challenge. Actually, it was before. We went, you know, to Yellowstone and took the kids, and I was just like, man, if we could pick up and move right now, Wyoming or Montana would be where it's at. So yeah.
There's freaking buffalo running alongside of the Jeep, dude.
I know.
I mean, I've seen buffalo, right? I've seen buffalo. I've never been driving down the road and two reprod rows inside of the woods, there's a freaking 2,000-pound buffalo running, and it's running the same speed as a car. And I looked over, and I looked at the boys. So, you know, come on, we're not dumb. We know there's going to be some freaking buffalo there, right?
Yeah.
But we're not to the park yet where the buffalo are going to be laying in the road, right?
Yeah.
And so we're driving down the road, driving down this kind of back road to go and kind of, you know, pitch a tent and camp or whatever. Because we even when we're traveling, we don't really want to stay in hotels. We like to camp, dude. You know, the kids even want to just sleep out in tents out in the yard at our house.
Yeah, yep,
you know?
I get it.
So I look over and I'm like, there's just certain things that just, you're like, what in the hell is that? It's like if a spaceship is landing in your backyard, you're like, I've heard of spaceships, right? We've seen them. Why the hell is there a spaceship landing in the yard? And I look over and I look back at Brody, our oldest, and I'm like, dude, there's a freaking buffalo over there and it's running alongside of the car. And he's like, that's so cool. And so we're like, we're totally nerded out. We're stopped in the middle of the road. And then this thing just comes out in the middle of the road and there's a buffalo, and so we were like, yep, let's move here. We want to be here.
Yeah, we – back when it was – I don't think it's legal anymore, but back when they had the trips through Yellowstone in the winter on snow machines, I don't know if they still do it or not, but we drove literally through the middle of a buffalo herd. Like, we could have touched them on snow machines going down the
road.
Wow.
It was insane.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
How fun.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. We're stoked to come out there. We'll definitely take you up on that and come out. And the problem is, you know, people invite us to come do stuff like that all the time. And there's a difference between us and a lot of folks, we do it. We will take you up on it. We're movers and shakers. We know exactly how to pack that rig up and go and get our asses on the road. So watch out.
Well, good. Well, like I say, I really appreciate you guys taking your morning and hopping on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having us. We had a good time, and we'll definitely talk some more backcountry meals for sure.
Yeah, man, you're always fun, dude. Everybody needs to check out Archery Maniacs, and I have fun every time we chat.
Thanks, guys.
So if you guys want some more information or have questions on nutrition, I'm more than happy to answer them. You can find me on Instagram at Nutrition Realigned. Or on my personal page, Her Outdoor Journey. I'd love to answer questions and talk nutrition with you guys. You can get on my website as well, nutritionrealigned.com. And I do some personalized nutrition coaching, meal plans, itemized grocery lists, and just make sure that whatever your goals are being achieved in the best way possible and keeping health in mind.
And, that works really well with our fitness training company, Elevation Fitness Training, which is it's a performance-based training system for outdoor athletes. An outdoor athlete is a very broad spectrum of person who uses their body in a functional manner to be successful in whatever it is that they're doing. You know, we happen to cater a very high percentage, you know, most, let's say probably 85 to 90% to hunters, you know, and that's not just bow hunters or gun hunters or whatever, but we've even got, you know, backcountry pack fishermen who will hike 10 miles and, you know, stay 3 days to fly fish, you know, and they'll live on a little bit of food that they take and the fish that they catch. So, you know, whether you're a hunter, hiker, any kind of endurance athlete, we have mountain bike racers. We have all kinds of stuff. Or if you just really want to be more functional when you hike, you know, that's what we cater to. We do very personalized, custom built training programs. ElevationFitnessTraining.com. Instagram is Elevation Fitness Training. You can find me at HuntFit_08 on Instagram, and we can answer any questions that you have, get you set up with very personalized. This isn't a one size fits all or spin the wheel and hope you get something that works for today. This is a very intimate relationship when it comes to training, and we love working with people. And it's an online training platform, and we're having a lot of fun with it and changing a lot of lives and learning a lot ourselves. So you can find us, like I said, ElevationFitnessTraining.com. Or nutritionrealign.com for any of that nutrition needs. We'd be happy to help.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thanks, guys, for hopping on the show.
That's the end of Tips and Tactics, Nutrition in Your Pack with Courtney and Steven of Elevation Fitness Training, Part 2. If you missed Part 1, it played last Wednesday, episode 259, so go check it out. Now it's time for another episode of Full Draw Fitness, brought to you by Steven and Courtney of Elevation Fitness Training.
Hey everybody, welcome to Full Draw Fitness with Courtney and Steven of Elevation Fitness Training.
We're going to be going over everything from fitness to hunting, archery, and just being comfortable with your bow in the backcountry. So sit tight, get comfortable, and follow us along the journey of Full Draw Fitness. Hey guys, what's happening? Courtney and Steven.
Hello, hello, hello.
Howdy, howdy from Elevation Fitness Training with another Full Draw Fitness episode.
That's right.
Today, we are going to touch on a very overlooked couple subjects, but are probably the root of all success and evil, which is going to be recovery, hydration, and flexibility.
Absolutely. Those are things that people overlook all the time. And I can't tell you how many clients I've busted. How much water did you drink today?
Both ounces. So, you know, how we pull this into archery and hunting is, well, you've got to use muscles to pull your bow, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So outside of just pulling your bow, outside of
you know, exercising, you know, our bodies are made up of between 80 and 90% water. So kind of need to stay hydrated. What do you think about that?
Definitely. And, you know, one of the things that's really hard about staying hydrated, especially when you're hunting, is there's two factors. It can be really cold.
Oh, my gosh.
No so joke. Nobody likes drinking water when it's cold. I know I'm really bad about that. Yep. But it's like the mental check-in. Okay, where are you at? You know, how full is your bag right now? Do you need to drink some more water? And the other thing is not a lot of people want to stop to get rid of it, you know, when they're out there hunting. So, but it outweighs the importance by a long shot for staying hydrated, you know, and that can be even more than water. When you're out there working, sweating, you know, even if it's not hot, you need to replace electrolytes. We always take the Hydrate and Recover by Wilderness Athlete. And, you know, if we don't, then, you know, day five, you're starting to, you know, your body is so out of balance, you know, you've got cramps, dehydration, yeah. Headache, the muscles aren't working correctly, your energy output, and your capacity, your workload capacity decreases a lot. So staying hydrated properly is definitely key.
You know, I think, you know, that I stay for some reason, I'm a little more crampy. I tend to get cramps. Not too bad, but I would say that if I don't stay on top of my electrolytes, you know, I definitely experience that. And I drink a lot of water, but at the same time, I'm only human, right? Just like yourself. And sometimes that water doesn't get put in just like Courtney was saying, when it's cold out or I left my pack, you know, in the truck or, you know, it's cold in a tent. We're in the backcountry and my water's ice cold in my hydration pack.
Nothing's fun about that.
Gosh.
Nope. Nothing's fun about that. So
yeah, it's a necessary evil. But I think, you know, like Courtney said, if you can supplement with, we use religiously Wilderness Athlete, the Paleo-ish line of Hydrate and Recover. I absolutely love it. I love the flavor of it. I love what it does for me, and yeah, couldn't live without it. So, you know, kind of a really basic rule of thumb, you know, to not dumb it down, but to dumb it down. You take your body weight. So let's say that I'm, you know, 210 pounds. So I'm going to take that 210 pounds and I'm going to cut it in half. And my left-handed math says that that's 105, right? So 105 is going to be the amount of ounces of water that I need to try to strive for daily. And that's just to keep me from being clinically dehydrated. So if you take your body weight, you cut it in half, convert that number after you've cut it in half into ounces, make that your daily goal. Obviously, if you're hiking, running, exercising, if you work outdoors, you know, for a living, you want that to be your minimum. You want to get to that. Now, how about acclimating to that to begin with?
Well, again, I find that a lot of people aren't water drinkers.
Yeah.
You know, so somebody will go from, you know, Thursday they've had maybe 30 ounces of water, and then Friday they're going to have 100 ounces. And they're like, man, this is miserable. I'm in the bathroom all day long. Well, your body doesn't know what to do with it.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing with nutrition. You can't go from really bad to really good and expect that adjustment happens just like a light bulb turns on.
Sure.
So, you know, I stress the importance with people that consistency with hydration is vital, because if you don't, you know, and you'll get people that say, well, I feel really bloated, or I'm in the bathroom a lot, or all these things. It's, again, your body doesn't know how to handle it. So once you, and especially for somebody who has either too high of a protein in their diet, or they eat a lot of carbohydrates, your body's going to hold a lot of that water because it's been dehydrated for so long. Those macronutrients need that water. So you're going to hold a lot more of it. But once you do that on a consistent basis, your body goes, oh, hey, this is water and I know what to do with it. And mm-hmm. I'm not going to hold it. I'm going to use it where I need to hydrate your body and then, you know, let go of the rest of it.
And help flush those toxins out with it. Yeah, for sure. So, you know, staying hydrated is key. Guys, we need water in our lives. Stop drinking soda. That's no good for you. What does soda do in your bloodstream?
Yeah.
See, exactly.
Yeah, so the other thing that we wanted to talk about too is mobility, making sure that, you know, systems, joints, muscles, soft tissues all working in the right direction, because, you know, it does not matter how strong you are. If the supporting structures of your body can't handle a workload, you're in a bad place. So, you know, what are your thoughts on staying mobile, keeping your body with, you know, a healthy range of motion? And, you know, how does that benefit you when you're out hunting or, you know, on a long outback trip?
For sure. So, you know, I think that the first thing most people will come to mind for most folks listening to this is going to be, you know, that guy or gal they see at their local health club, gym, fitness facility, whatever it is, coming in, let's say for the guys, you know, shoulders forward, going right for that bench press with no warm up, you know, been sitting in a car, jacked up on some kind of a pre-workout supplement. You know, those joints, soft tissues, those muscles, all those, you know, mobility, stability, based areas in their body haven't been warmed up. They have probably haven't been stretched in a long time, and they're just going to work, right? So they're thinking about the strength, power, over mobility, over flexibility, over warming those muscles
until the moment it's taken away, and then this light bulb turns on that went eek.
Oops. You know, for me, if someone said you have 45 minutes to work at home or the gym, and you need to focus on something that is going to help you in the long run and is going to put you through any rigors that you will face in the backcountry, I would say, okay, I'm going to bring my foam roller, probably a softball or something to really get in deep to my muscles. I'm going to focus that 45 minutes on, you know, rolling my body, that I'm going to warm up on some, you know, aspect of cardio, whether it's a rowing machine or an elliptical or a stair climber, or a treadmill or whatever it is. I'm going to warm myself up for a minimum of 10 minutes or whatever it takes. You know, sometimes it takes me 15 minutes to warm up. Sometimes it takes me 7 to 8. For me, you know, I don't stretch cold muscles. I like to roll my body first, get some of that blood out to my extremities, warm up the muscles. And then I'll do my warm-up, my cardio warm-up, whatever that might be. Then I'll typically hit that foam roller again on the tough to reach spots. Once they're warmed up, then I might start stretching a little bit. I might use some bands or a TRX suspension trainer and really stretch my body. Try to make myself as mobile and flexible as possible, so that way when I go through my range of motion with any kind of weight bearing, one, it's safe. Two, my core has been warmed up. And three, now I can start using all those leverage points correctly because there's blood that's already been flowed, you know, to those. So as far as being able to carry that into the backcountry, I mean, how many times have we had to crawl over giant old growth trees that are fallen or climb under, and having the hip and back mobility and knee stability to either lunge way down or climb up over. Not only to mention that, but going through, let's say, very uneven ground, mm-hmm. and you know, your ankles are twisting and turning, and your body has to absorb that. So having stiff joints, because you're not stretching them, because you're not creating a safe mobility within, you know, ankles, stability within knees, and your trunk is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you, I've talked to a lot of folks who go out, you know, it's opening weekend, they're on their hunt, and you know, they get back and they're like, man, side hilling hurts. Yeah. You know, and again, it's just what you just said, people, you know, your supporting structure is not prepared to move in those ways. So when you're, you know, trying to side hill down something, or even just go straight down something, you know, those areas of your body are not happy. They're not used to that. Our body likes to rebel against things that it's not used to or comfortable with. So yeah, having good range of motion, mobility, flexibility, and strength in those areas too, because not only does your, you know, working on those areas loosen things up in a good way, but it also makes sure that they're strong. It really makes sure that everything can support, you know, those moving parts.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think that I think that having the knowledge of what parts of your body cause stability, what parts of your body cause or help, you know, or are the factors of mobility. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how many times have you heard, man, you know, going uphill isn't that bad, but God, coming back down, those muscles on the fronts of my legs.
Yep, I've heard that a few times.
My knees are sore from going downhill.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted to be a better tennis player, what would you do?
I'd play tennis.
Play tennis, right? If you want to be a better hiker, I would imagine that you should probably go out and hike. And typically, when you go up a hill, if you started at the bottom, you have to come back down, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, my advice would be to practice how you play. You know, we explain that and share that and implement that with all of our clients. You know, I'm an ultra runner. Well, you're probably going to be doing a lot of running. I'm a hiker. I'm a kayaker. I'm a backcountry fly fisherman. You know, getting out into the environments in which you're going to be trying to perform at your best is extremely important. But also getting knowledge of, you know, hey, warm up. Warm your body up. Make sure that you have blood flowing from your core. When we're sitting at idle, you know, like right now we're sitting here at our Elevation Fitness Training HQ, and we're doing this podcast. You know, all the blood in our body's pooling in our abdomen because it doesn't have any need to go to the extremities yet because we're not using them.
Except for you, because you're using your hands.
Because I talk like this. Because I need some extra steps today. So, you know, getting that blood out to the working parts, right? Yeah. Making sure that we're using leverage. When you draw your bow, you're using leverage. When you open a door, you're using leverage. When you, you know, close a window, you're using leverage. There's so much, you know, when you pick your newborn up off the floor, you're using leverage in so many joints. So, you know, it's not just, you know, sports athletes. It's life is a sport, right? We have to be functional. We have to be ergonomically safe to squat and lift things up. And, you know, that doesn't mean there has to be a barbell on your back, but, you know, we're lifting these totes to go and do a sportsman's show and they're not 5 pounds. They're heavy, right? So you have to be able to lift those up. We had a pretty fun tooth pulling experience last week where we tied a little gourd to some floss to Gabe's tooth. And for some reason, I had to pick him up and hold him upside down. And he's a little brick of muscle. And I guess I hadn't done that for a while. And I had to ergonomically, soundly pick him up and basically hold him by his ankles as high as I could. And it was a strain for sure. So anyway, flexibility, hydration,
mobility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything you want to add to that?
I do, but I think we should save it for another podcast.
Okay.
I want to talk all things recovery, rest days, when it's important to train, you know, to go the extra mile or to, you know, motivate yourself and when it's good to just rest.
Yeah. Sleep, so, right?
Yeah. Let's cover that in another one because that'll be a good topic.
So rest is important.
Sleep is important.
Food.
You know, and it's funny because I had a client not too long ago text me and say, man, I can't believe how much things change as far as your ability to work when you haven't slept. And it took, you know, minutes off of her mile time.
It's crazy.
And she had hit her wall and it was like, well, yeah, because everything works, you know, everything repairs when you sleep.
Yeah.
So we'll cover that in another podcast here before too long. Thanks again for joining us today. Like always, if you have questions, you can find us at elevationfitnesstraining.com or on social media. We're there as well. My personal page is Her Outdoor Journey. Steven's is huntfit_08. We love to hear from you guys. Leave us a comment, question, anything you'd like.
That's right. Now go drink some water, get your electrolytes, stretch, and sleep as the doctor ordered. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for tuning into the show. It means a lot to us.
But seriously, though, I really appreciate your ear. And it would mean the world to me if you would rate our podcast. If you didn't like it, 1-star it. But if you did, a 5 is even better. Don't forget to comment, like, share, and hit that subscribe button. Thanks again for tuning into the show. Some other podcasts that you should definitely check out are
Eastman Elevating with Bride and Barney,
and Hunt Harvest Health with Ryan and Hillary Lambers.
Some other YouTube channels to check out:
Hardworking Hunter, Sterling's Extremes Outdoors, and Lane Walter Productions.
And a special thanks to
Maven Optics, Six Sight Gear, Dark Energy Tech, Shield Mountain Outdoors, The Outdoor Insiders, Iron Mind Hunting, Valkyrie Archery, and Gannett Ridge Sporting Equipment.